Will you join me in the party pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the party of the United Party of Parties, and to the party for which it stands, one party, under party, party, with party and party for all.
Yeah! All right. All right. Richard, what's up, man?
Hey.
How's it going?
It's time to party.
Yes. Oh, man. And what a time it is, because Andrew WK's latest album is coming up so quickly.
15 days.
15.
15 days away.
That's not very much time, especially when you consider the amount of years that have gone by waiting for it.
Oh, man. You're telling me.
So this last week, there's been two new songs released.
Yep. So we have the very first song was Music Is Worth Living For. Then there was Ever Again. And then he leaked two more songs.
Where did he leak them at?
He leaked these ones through Facebook Messenger.
Oh, okay. I Don't Know Anything and The Devil's on Your Side.
Mm-hmm. So let's just get it out there. I did not listen to these, and you did.
Yeah. Explain. Explain why you wouldn't want to listen to these.
Right? Because I listened to the first two, but not these two. And I think probably everyone is most people that knows about them would be wanting to listen to them. So actually, you tell me, let's just get into how you like the songs first. Because I'm genuinely curious, and then I'll kind of tell you some of my reasoning and logic.
I don't know if I should do that, and I'll tell you why. I think that, I think, like, you know, when people talk about spoilers for movies,
mm-hmm.
obviously something like, oh, Luke dies at the end, that would be an awful spoiler to get for right. seeing, you know, it's like, oh, I wanted to be surprised. And so those are obvious spoilers, but I think some of the things that people don't think of as spoilers as much are things that I really think I don't want to hear is like the rating of the movie. Because whether it's good or bad before, like when I hear that before going in, that really conditions me into whether I think I'm going to like it or not, especially depending on who says it's good or bad. Like if someone a certain person's like, oh man, that latest Jumanji movie, it's really good. I'm thinking, okay, I know it coming from you. I know right. what that means.
right.
And so, I don't know. I guess I will if you really want okay. me to.
That's cool. I think the spoiler for me is not, I totally see what you're saying with like, you know, it sets the expectations of good or bad. And so then you go into it with that expectation.
Yeah.
I think more of what I'm avoiding is the literal, like the sound, the actual consumption of the songs. And so, I don't know how much you could say.
You mean the consumption is in like the quality of the sound?
Just the actual song, just hearing the song. Like you telling me expectations, not going to spoil it necessarily.
Oh.
But let's just get into. Okay, so here's my logic. I Get Wet came out, loved it. There were some circumstances that led to me not hearing any of the singles that led up to the 2003 album The Wolf, and I didn't hear any, because usually, you know, when you're building up to an album, you release a single before the release date of the album, maybe a second single, you know, maybe a music video, which was the case with The Wolf, but I didn't hear any of those things. So my friend Eli sent me a CD of The Wolf. He bought it for me and sent it, and I went out to my truck. I'm in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. It's nighttime. It's like 10:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about this new album. And I put in The Wolf and I listened to it just sitting there in the dark in that truck. It's like such a vivid memory for me. And it was a mix of emotion. It was like just a whole mix of feelings and ideas, you know.
Yeah.
Mostly good. I remember thinking, you know, wow, this is different. This is like, what's going on, you know? So there was a little bit of a little bit of a letdown, but maybe like only 10%. The rest of it was like, you know, I liked it. Other albums that have come out since then, have been, so for instance, there was an album called The Mother of Mankind, which was like rare and unreleased tracks, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of was like drip fed a lot of those songs throughout the years, just like being able to scour them up and find them. And so by the time it came out, there's only like probably four or five songs that I hadn't actually heard.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't as exciting for me. You know, I was like, oh, you know, okay. These are cool new songs, but I've already heard like 3/4 of the album.
Right.
Anyway, so I think anyone can understand where I'm coming from with this.
Well, so I understand that to a degree too, because I've had the experience of listening to like the first song of a new album over and over and over again. And then when I hear the whole album, it's like, that's the song that I'm tired of the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always skipping that one to listen to the other ones, because it's like, that's the one I've heard so many times.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so is it also just like something about hearing the album from the first, like from your perspective, there's a definite methodology or a reason why song one is what it is and the last song is what it, like Andrew intentionally put songs in a certain order for them to be consumed in that order.
Yeah, and just like there's something special about consuming an album in full. You know, it's like you're eating the entire album. It's like going inside your body, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's something to be said for that. And
I would say definitely this day and age, because ever since iTunes has popularized the idea of buying songs individually, and then it's only been emphasized with Spotify and playlists, like I'm pretty sure most teenagers nowadays don't listen to song like a full, like they listen to playlists, curated right. playlists, rather than just like beginning to end of albums, like the way that I was, like the whole way I lived was just from beginning to end of albums, you know?
Right.
Playlists didn't really come along until Napster and LimeWire, and we started ripping everything, and we're like, oh, cool. And like, you know, your iPod could like do it a little bit, and it's just only gotten more and more of the norm.
Right, right. Yeah. Like it was, everyone had, you know, that mixtape that they would make, right? But the majority of the stuff you'd listen to was like, you know, you pop in the cassette or the CD and listen to the. So yeah. Yeah. I just think like, an album kind of takes you for a ride, you know, it's like a full journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just one or two songs, it's just, you're not getting the full message, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny because you told me about these two new songs and I was like, all right. And I listened to them immediately. I didn't even consider, holding out to listen to them, as an entire album. I can appreciate doing that in terms of like, maybe appreciating all the songs in their appropriate context. And mm-hmm. I think it started to make me think about this idea about how to listen to music. Like if you were sitting in your front yard and like an alien from outer space got beamed down and he walked up to you and he looked pretty, he had ears, you know, and so he could listen to music and he mm-hmm. was like, I love this thing called music. How do I listen to it? Like what advice would you give them? Because it sounds like a very simple question on the surface of how to listen to music. But I mean, humans have done nothing but create more and more interesting and novel ways to listen to music. Because if you think about it, like 100 years ago or maybe a little more, there was really only one way to listen to music, and that was live. And the people playing it were people who are like your neighborhood or your village band.
Right.
And so you're always yeah. listening to just kind of second rate, about as good as you can get within your whatever your city is, and you can only hear it live. Or you hear it, your dad playing the harmonica on the, you know, on the porch, or you know, your uncle's got like a little banjo. And so, when you start there, it just goes so many different ways, like all the different ways you could listen to music.
So you're talking about the literal like format or like the speaker setup or what are you getting at here? Like what in our day and age, how would you go about listening to it?
So you can listen to music by yourself with like headphones in.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular thing to do if you're a person who works in an office, in a like a office kind of environment. That's a lot of most people have headphones in where I work. Is that the same case where you work?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then you can listen, you can go to concerts. You can listen to music while driving your car. You can just listen to music on the stereo while you're doing your dishes or, you know, vacuuming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like individually with people live privately. Yeah. I mean, there's all different ways. And so it's like, you can choose how you want to do it.
So yeah, that's something that I love. Okay. So like, with Andrew WK's music, there is something really cool about his sound because there's like all kinds of layers. Like I've listened to I Get Wet and The Wolf and other songs, like I don't know how many times. And you can pick apart stuff and it's like reading the Bible. You know, you read it and then there's like another layer that you didn't understand the first time. and then 5 years later, you change so you understand the same thing differently, right?
Sure.
So it's like there's these layers and, you know, when I listen to it with earbuds in versus like a nice headphone set versus in my car versus on my home stereo system, like they pull out these different sounds. And that's something I really appreciate about his music and sound is like I can hear in multiple ways and it sounds awesome. And that actually is one of my critiques, though, because I will say like with some of the stuff that was released in Japan and Asia, even I would say his third album, Close Calls with Brick Walls, like no matter what format I'm listening to, is format the right word? Whatever setup I'm listening to I Get Wet and The Wolf on, it sounds amazing. You know, it always sounds good.
Yeah.
But when I put in some of those other albums or tracks that maybe have like less time that was put into them, it's weird. They like they drastically change or sound good or decent versus like horrible depending on what I'm listening to it on. And I think that I don't really know much about music production, like, you know, those sound engineers and mastering, but they just maybe sound like, okay, The Wolf and I Get Wet are like, wow, you can tell like some money was dumped into these because they sound good on everything.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how you accomplish that in music production, but you could definitely can tell a difference between some of the quality of tracks that have been put out. But this new album, at least the two tracks that I have heard, they sound great. I mean, for the most part, they sound good.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that my preferred way to listen to music would be not with headphones on, and it would be with a nice stereo system. I have this like surround sound TV set up in my basement that I can play music. If I can play music on that really loud, and it has a really big subwoofer, and like I think that's my preferred way. When I was growing up, my bedroom was in the basement of my house, and I had a stereo system, I had a CD player in my bedroom, and most nights, I don't know how often, all the time, I would listen to music really loud by myself with like my lights pretty dim in my bedroom and just like be rocking out and daydreaming and just pretending to be in a band and all kinds of stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just like a very... Like my approach is like, I like music that's fun and energetic and makes me excited. And I think it stems from just like all that time I spent in the basement, just like jumping around by myself, being excited, you know?
Those are sacred teenage moments, you know? Those are like cement who you are, I feel like.
Yes.
You know, those are
so much
not be tampered with memories.
So much like daydreaming, you know, pretending.
Yeah, and just discovering like, whoa, you know, like that's, yeah, just like discovering new music. It's just a fun thing.
Yeah.
I will see, so in the, okay, so you're kind of talking about a scenario that's kind of a isolated, not isolated. It's an interesting way you say
it's kind
that
of because personal.
It's personal, but it's there's just a weird thing that happens a lot of times. I catch myself doing it. And that's listening to music while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, while you're vacuuming or while you're, you have it on in the background of your house, like when you're, I don't know, you know, doing whatever you do at home, you know, just like washing the dishes or whatever. And then at work, you know, I'm sitting there working and I've got, you know, like a playlist going or something and I'm not even paying attention to the music,
right?
But it's on. And that is not how I'm going to consume this new album, especially, of course, for the first time. You know, I think purposeful listening to music, I get so much more out of it. Like when I'm really trying to hear, like, okay, here's the mid range, here's the high range, here's like a, you know, like, oh, and there I can hear the rhythm section. There's the bass, and there's like,
right.
It's like a so much more satisfying, you know. It's kind of like you put out of it what you put into it. And whereas so for example, when I'm driving to work, I'll be listening to an album and I'm like really listening to it, even though I'm because I mean in that car, I mean I'm not really doing much else besides just
right.
Focus on the music. But at work, so I'll switch over and I'll put that same album on while I'm like shooting off some emails. And it's like, it's just white noise. And I'm not like the songs in the album sound so much more amazing in my car than when it's just passively going in the background.
Yeah. I'm going to make probably some very uninformed and curmudgeon, like old dumb comment right now.
Okay.
And that is just like, I feel like rap music, you know, is like very popular. It's practically... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if pop music and rap music are almost synonyms, and especially like a lot of the electronic music. I feel like a lot of that stuff people can listen to like chill out to, or like when they're working. And I don't know. I feel like that's the reason for the rise of that is like it's headphone culture and like doing other stuff while listening to music culture. The other day I went, I took my son, he's 7, to Elmer's Diner, which here in the Northwest is like a Denny's. And we were sitting at the table, and the family next to us was like two boys, and they both had headphones in with their parents sitting in front of them, right?
Okay.
And so say, I mean, I'm being judgy, right? But
yeah.
I just think like, and then you, have you ever seen
kids? How old were they? How old were the kids?
So one looked like he was 16 and the other one looked like he was maybe 14.
Okay.
13, 12. And like, have you ever seen kids who are like walking home from school, like a couple of friends, and they're like talking to each other and they have headphones in? Or like they have one headphone in and the other one out, and they're like with their friends but with their headphones in at the same time, like walking down the street?
Yeah, I've seen that in college, yeah.
I just like, again, this is me being like the old grandpa who's looking back at kids and saying you're doing it wrong, and who knows, but I just feel like that kind of life of always having headphones in, like I think the kind of music that's more conducive to constant headphone consumption is the like rap and electronic and very repetitive kind of stuff, like rock music or punk music, or I don't know, like stuff that has a lot more range or moves around or is really fast or is really harsh. Like, I don't know if it's really as conducive to that kind of, I don't know, that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Cause I mean, life is, you're walking down the sidewalk. Life is pretty, you know, the tempo is not rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been really listening to this band, The Bronx. Have you ever heard of The Bronx?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like a thrash, punk, metal-ish kind of band. And like that music is like harsh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the lead singer's almost screaming most of the time, but it's not mm-hmm. quite so heavy. But at the same time, it's like you can't really listen to that and at the same time be like chatting to someone like, you know, like, hey, do you want to go check out this latest movie? Like, I don't know. It's like, I just don't feel like all these kids are the, you know, how popular music is. I just don't see it being as good. It's like that music you have to listen to live and you have to listen to like loudly and like driving or, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, I mean, I see what you're saying. There's a rebuttal to that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and I would say, you know, again, I don't think there's any wrong way to listen to music. Everyone's going to listen. You do you, right, Richard?
Yeah, yeah.
You do you. But I think that if there is a wrong way, it would be listening to something with an ear to figure out why it's bad.
Hmm.
Like to listen to something with the preconceived thought of like, I'm going to figure out why this music is bad and then I'll be able to tell people why they're wrong. That's why I'm listening to this. That's the wrong way to listen to music.
Oh yeah. I would definitely agree with that. There's, you know, the question of like, you know, what genres of music you don't like. And I don't know. I find a lot of people that I come across that they point out country music, and, or they'll like be really adamant about country or they'll be really adamant about rap or, EDM or something. Right. And it's like, you know what? I think every single genre of music that I've ever listened to, I've been able to pull out like the, even if it's just like one genre has only like one or two songs that I can really enjoy. I've been able to pull out, I think, songs out of every genre and enjoy it. And it's like, yeah, I can no longer say I don't like country or I don't like rap or I don't like this genre because I really like those songs.
Absolutely. I think Andrew WK would agree when he says that music is worth living for.
Yeah.
Whatever that music is.
You know, going back though to the wrong way of listening music, I think the other wrong way though is maybe it's not the wrong way, but I do find that like even with Andrew WK's music, like when I'm doing something else and not listening to specifically the music and I do that too much and then I go back and try to listen to the album and I'm burnt out on it because my subconscious had been like consuming this sound and music. Mm. I feel like that's not, maybe it's not the wrong way, but it's not the greatest way because I don't want to be burned out on it. You know, I want to, I want to just like find all the richness that there is in the music.
Yeah, and, that's a good point. I don't really consider that much, right? Because like when I'm just kind of bored at work or I'm just got like trivial stuff to do. So I'm just like you, I put it on music, put it on the headphones. I'm not really being very careful with what I listen to and with the forethought of, am I going to want to listen to this purposefully later? Because if I do, I might be burning myself out on it by listening to it in an atmosphere that's not really conducive to where and how the music should be listened.
Exactly. And especially, yeah, exactly. And especially like with earbuds, you know, again, you like your home stereo setup. I like the same. I've actually switched over to like, I don't know if it's, I got a really nice headset, like over the ear headset recently.
Yeah.
And I've been using that a lot and I really like that. So if I'm going to consume something that I really want, like purposefully, I'm going to be using those headsets or my nice home stereo. I'm not going to be listening to it on earbuds while I'm, you know, doing something else.
Right.
But of course, I mean, of course, you know, at work, I'm going to put in headphones and put on Enya or something. I don't know.
Right. Enya's a good go-to. Monday morning, kind of tired.
Who could say when the winds blow?
Yes. Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Okay, so on that, you know, that idea of being a person who listens to music with the sole intent of figuring out what's wrong with it so that you can feel superior to people who listen to that music. Uh-huh. I feel like one of the great things about Andrew W.K. is that he is kind of this, as I've heard this saying about other things, an antidote to cynicism. And what I mean by that is that, like, when you listen to Andrew W.K., you can either, it's like you either join the party or you're left to be kind of like the cynic, the person who's just like, oh, I'm smarter than the people who like this. That's why I don't like it. Because you have, if you were as smart as me, you wouldn't like this because I understand things at a higher level and I understand why you think you like this. But the reasons you like this are for dumb reasons. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. but like, there's something about being able to break down cynicism and break down this kind of shell and let everyone just be like relax and smile and just like get goofy. Because people don't get goofy, but Andrew W.K. lets you get goofy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. I think that, like, have you ever heard the idea of you need to suspend your disbelief?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to movies? Mm-hmm. So as you get older, we all get more jaded and cynical. Ideally, we can limit that as much as possible. And the amount that we can suspend our disbelief gets much worse. So, like, mm-hmm. the more movies you watch, like, every time I watch another comic book movie, I'm just like, it's that much harder for me to really like it. I feel like this thing of, like, it's like, geez, they're just doing this again with right. the origin story. And it's, like, not magical. It's, you know, but, like, you know, if you put that in front of my 7-year-old, he's, like, blown away.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can instantly believe it, and he's into it, and he doesn't see any of the things that I'm seeing. Because like he can suspend his belief so far, whereas mine is so short. But Andrew W.K. is like this, it's kind of like a therapy to remind myself, hey, just like things. You don't need to be a cynic. You don't need to be jaded. You don't need to be always pessimistic about everything. You can like things without being dumb for liking them. You can just be, it's cool to like things.
Yeah, yes. I've thought about this in not exactly this context, but in other contexts, but it definitely applies to what you're speaking to. So like, it's like a maybe figurative, maybe even literal feeling. Like when I am being critical, because I feel like this world is a world where virtually nothing is perfect, mm-hmm. right? Like perfect is a interesting. Perfection is an interesting concept, and almost nothing in this world falls into that. And so by its very nature, we can look at the imperfections of everything. And the thing that's weird about that is, although things may be true, like those imperfections are true, when I put my head in that mind, like headspace, it's like this fog is in me. Like, it's like an emotion. It's like a, I feel like clouded, right? It's like this. So, for example, with people, mm-hmm. I've never met a perfect person in this life. And, you know, I could critique anybody. But it's like when I'm in that headspace and I'm being maybe cynical is probably the better word for this. When I'm being cynical about a person or yeah, a movie or art or anything, I just don't feel good. However, on the flip side, I do believe in having like critical thoughts about things too, like mm-hmm. Digging into why things work the way they do and, you know, how things could be better. I haven't really fleshed this whole idea out in my mind, but all I know is that sometimes when I'm being overly cynical about something, I just don't feel good. And I want to feel good, so I try to stop myself from doing that.
It's like, yes, Oh my gosh. It's like an easy, it's like if you could boil down every self-help book, there's like so many. It's like, do you want to be happy? Then choose to be happy. That's like what every self-help book says, but they take 300 pages to do it. You know, it's just like, you have to choose. You can either choose to be sad, choose to let things bother you, choose to be annoyed, or choose to like things and be nice and choose to be happy.
There you go. You could sell that. Put a self-publish on Amazon.
Just write that over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you gotta draw that out though across 20 chapters so people feel like they're getting something.
Right.
Whew.
It's true though. You know, I think there's a lot of, and I think like, I think Andy WK, of the different things that he does, one of the things he does well is that he reminds us that it's okay to just like let down our guard and stop being critical and just enjoy ourselves. And it's this, and to let go of the cynicism and just be like, oh yeah, it's funner if I just enjoy and have fun.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to someone about this the other day, but he has that track title called I'm Totally Stupid or Totally Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're all totally stupid, you know?
I love that. Yeah, totally.
It's like, I'm okay with being stupid.
Yeah.
And let's just get comfortable. Let's just all level the playing field. No one's super smart. No one's super dumb. We're just all dumb.
Yeah, we're all totally stupid.
That's funny. But yes, I love that concept that you brought up of being cynical. Is there a difference between being cynical and critical? Is there, or is it the same word?
I think they're pretty similar. Cynical is a little bit more on, if on a more bad, being cynical is bad. Being critical, you can be, critical without being so negative.
Right. Right. Okay.
I'm a critical person. I like analyzing and deciding and figuring out what's the best and what's the worst, and then trying to like make choices to do the best things and be critical, because it's like, I got one life and I got 24 hours in a day, and you know, I'm not going to just like let anything come along take my attention away. I'm going to be very critical of that time because it's mine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think, man, language is a weird thing. Like I think analytical is more the word I'm using when I think of being critical thought into something. And, but instead we use critical, you know, like, you know, gotta be critical thought and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But yeah, it's more like this analytical concept of like dissecting things and figuring out all the cogs to make them work. And, anyway, so you talked about the, suspending disbelief. So what you're saying is let's say you were 15 or 16 watching these comic book movies, mm-hmm. there's something about when you get older that, become just more that way just by its nature, just by the nature of getting older.
Right. Right. Like I just can't suspend my disbelief as much as I could.
Yeah, I would, unfortunately I would say the same in my experience.
I got, that movie pass, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I've been watching all the movies.
Right.
And I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's because I'm getting more cynical as I get older, it's the movie pass that's making it feel so inexpensive and so throwaway. Kind of like how, like I kind of blame Spotify a little bit to my lack of sticking with songs and bands as much as I used to. Because I could just go on to the next thing. It's like there's so much. I keep going and going without really spending very much time with bands or with albums. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if like the movie pass is doing the same thing with movies, where I'm just, I don't know, because I've seen all these movies. Some of them are like I saw The Shape of Water, which is like really critically acclaimed. I saw The Post, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. And I don't know. I guess I need to figure out a way to find my childlike sense of wonder again.
Well, I mean, when you're, it's kind of like there's no going back, though, in a way, because, you know, imagine the very first time you rode a roller coaster versus, you know, the 30th time when you're 15 years later.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to be as thrilling almost no matter what you do, which is like really sad to say.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, right, though, is like, is there a way to fight back that idea? Because that sounds like you're right. Like, the more you do anything, the less interesting it gets. But I think there should be, and you know, because our lives are lived inside our heads. Like, there's really, like, we all have just perceptions of reality. None of us really have a full understanding or grasp on actual reality. And so the stimulus that exists in the world, once it gets into your brain, then you're choosing how to observe it and critique it and what to think of it and whether it's good or whether it's bad. And I think that there's a way to calm all that down or to sidestep it or to, I don't know, to be able to look at something like you're looking at it for the first time again. Because everything else, like memories aren't real and thoughts and labels, all these things aren't really real. They're things that we've constructed in our brains that we apply to things subconsciously. And if we were able to like overlook that stuff or get past it, I think you could probably like look at a rock and be like, oh my gosh, look at that rock.
So I think what you're describing is drugs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's a good way to like look at it in a new way.
Yeah. Or you don't listen to the two latest Andrew WK songs in favor of just like listening to the whole thing at once. With the perfect headphones on, in your perfect chair or standing up or however, and you just like absorb it.
So I know how I'm going to do it. March 2nd, right, is when the album comes out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grab my headset, and I'm gonna drive out to a dark field, just like 2003 in the middle of Nebraska.
Yes.
Except I'm gonna be in the middle of the desert in Arizona. And completely in the dark. So like my senses are deprived of any sight kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And, I can focus just on the sound and I'm going to listen to it that way. The full album just sitting there in the dark in my car.
I love it. That's very romantic. This is like, just like going back, reliving this, like this moment and this feel like it's kind of like where you recreate a ceremony or something.
Yeah.
You're making sacred this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So just don't let me down, Andrew WK.
Yeah.
Because the pressure's on.
Yeah. Well, I think, go ahead.
I was just going to say, don't ruin that sacred moment for me.
That's right. Yeah, I hope to have, despite having listened to 4 songs now off the new album, I need to think that too. I think I need to figure out how am I going to listen to it all the way through for the first time and try and make it cool. Try and make it good.
You told me that you listened to the preview tracks like one time, maybe two times through.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? See, I kind of made the mistake. So I'm not going into this completely like virgin experience. I've listened to 2 tracks and I've listened to 30 seconds of all the other tracks.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And so I feel like I've already screwed the pooch in a way. But I made the conscientious decision. I was like, I'm not going to listen to any more of the preview tracks. I'm going to allow myself to keep listening to the 2 tracks that have been released. But other than that, I'm not listening to anything else that he leaks.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to the preview tracks until it comes out.
That's good. You know, do you remember when we were growing up, our friend Kelby?
Yeah.
So Kelby's parents would get all decked out for Halloween, like wear full costumes, masks, like really elaborate.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
And I remember going over to his house to like trick or treat and seeing his dad and his mom like all dressed up and thinking, wow, that's cool. And it's kind of like, because my parents weren't, I don't know if I've ever seen my parents wear Halloween costumes.
Okay.
And so, and I'm just thinking like, you know, when you're an adult, you've done Halloween lots of times.
Mm.
You're not going trick-or-treating yet. They decided to make it special. Like, life is what you make it, you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like, you know what? Like Valentine's Day. We just had Valentine's Day. You can either think cynically, oh, it's a postcards or greeting cards invented this holiday so they can sell flowers. But it's like, you know what? If you just like, hey, let me take this opportunity to do something romantic. You know, like,
yeah.
Embrace the things as they come along and just make things special. And that's what you're doing with when you're going to go listen to that, you're going to make it special.
I think a lot of it just has to do with like love, you know, like you either love something or you're indifferent about it or you dislike it. Like, I think indifference is really, there's something to that. Whereas if it's easy almost like, maybe they really loved Halloween and getting dressed up, it wasn't hard for them. They didn't think of it as a chore. It was with the love came with fun, you know?
Well,
maybe it did get a little bit tedious, you know, initially, you know, the first 4 years they did that. They're like, yeah, this is great. But then they did it out of obligation. Who knows?
I mean, it can get hard, right? But that's life. You got to like, it's like, you know what? It's coming up on Halloween again. And gosh darn it, I feel like being lazy, but I'm not going to be fun lazy. I'm going to get out there and have fun. I'm going to make it special. And like you said, indifference, that word just like sparks this like feeling of indignation in me. Like I hate indifference.
Hmm.
Indifference is a disease, you know, like you should love something or just don't give a crap about it. Just move on. But like make sure the things you love, like point it out and make it something important, like make it worthwhile and do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, unfortunately, well, at least my nature is I gravitate towards indifference. I'm just like, I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to, I'm like avoiding pain, you know, or avoiding something, and it just falls into this category of indifference, which is, it's tricky though.
You got to rise above it. You got to will yourself to care. And to be like, gosh darn it, I'm not just going to be indifferent about everything in my life. I'm going to be deliberate and make choices and love the choices I make and be glad I made them.
You got to like raise one arm to the sky and call down the gods like a lightning rod, you know, and have it strike you. And it's just like laser bolts shooting out of you. That's what you have to do.
That's right.
Cool. Zach, it's been great talking to you.
Likewise, Richard. Thanks for talking, and thanks to you at home listening. I hope you enjoyed it.
You know, I just thought of this as we're ending. We have a party pledge allegiance that we play at the beginning of every podcast. Maybe we should come up with a party prayer to end the podcast.
Like to end with the what's the
like thank you, party gods. We'll come up with it for the next time.
That's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. Like so, kind of like making peace with the party gods, like to not upset them, to make sure that we're on good terms still. Until next time.
Yeah, and you know, we hope our words don't fall on the deaf ears of the party gods.
Yes. And we don't want to get any kind of bad. curses and stuff.
Yeah, so we'll have that ready for next time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, well, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. See ya.